Chapter 14 Brown and White. Jen watched as the soldiers shut the gates behind them, noting the strength of men and the defences built to keep him in. In vain he swatted at his pants and cloak to get the dust and mud off them. He struggled to remember when he lost his shirt, but couldn't. The last few days, staring at the sun from the back of the cart, the torrent of memories and voices had subsided, his own mind and will returning to him for increasing amounts of time. He could remember each of the men's memories, probably better than they remembered them when they had lived, and while he thought he had them sorted out, he didn't always feel sure. The lifetimes of information imprinted upon him made him feel old. Part of the fight for ownership of his mind involved extricating his own memories from the others, a difficult task. Even now, when he remembered Samian kissing his elven wife for the last time, he didn't remember Samian doing it. Jen experienced it as if he were in Samian's place. And when he dreamed, he often had nightmares he knew sprang from the fears and desires of the others. But while he dreamed, those nightmares and desires were his own. Looking outside of himself with his own perception and his own senses awakened him to his predicament. Groups of the insane and sickly eyed him carefully as if looking for anything they might steal. Jen took stock of himself. His shirt, boots, sword, and the training stones had all gone missing, and what clothes he had, a shredded cloak and tattered pants, set him equal to the poverty and squalor all around him. Memories of the horrors of war lessened the shock of such depravity, but the faces of the sick, the elderly and the children, all deeply tanned and completely destitute, still sorrowed him. The emotion slipped away as Jadan Cairn's training took hold. The growling of his stomach and his thirst reminded him of his first duty, survival. The heart of the damned quarter was walled away from the rest of the city, though some of the barriers consisted of the steep, jagged ruins of buildings. These provided the easiest apparent exit, though the loose rubble could prove treacherous and noisy to climb. The city guard obviously had several stations and guards around the perimeter, and silence would be the key to escaping without confrontation.
"She is coming,"
a nearby child said, coming forward.
"Please don't hurt her. She's the only nice one to come to this place."
Jen turned his gaze downward. A boy, 10 or 11 years old by his height, looked up at him, one eye brilliant blue, the other a milky white. He wore scraps of a shirt and hole-riddled pants. The face, gaunt from undernourishment, was kind. The boy's demeanour, sane and intelligent. "What is your name, boy?"
"Thepeth."
"Who is coming? And why would I hurt her?"
"Why, the Shalane is coming, of course. Can't you feel her? I thought you, of all people, would be able to feel her coming. I can."
"The Shalane is coming here? I think you are mistaken. I can't imagine her guard would take the chance."
"It is dangerous," Thepeth replied, "especially with you here. But no one fights when she comes. Please don't fight when she comes."
"I certainly would not fight against the Shalane and her guard. But tell me, Thepeth, why are you here? You don't seem insane."
"The Orphan Master sent me here. He said I was touched by Mikik, that Mikik gave me this eye to speak his lies. I see the things people want to hide. No one likes me around, but I like the Shalane. She has nothing to hide, at least nothing important."
"She has been here before?" Jen asked incredulously.
"Twice since I have been here." "You won't hurt her, will you?"
"Of course not. Why do you think I will?"
"You don't want to hurt her?"
"Certainly not."
"That is strange."
Thepeth scratched his head.
"I thought you had come to kill her. That's what you're supposed to do, isn't it?"
"If you think I'm here to kill the Shalane, then perhaps you're crazy, little one."
"Is she here yet, Thep?"
A little girl, dirty beyond description, poked her head out of a littered alley.
"Almost, whole one. Get the others."
"What's wrong with her?" Jen asked.
"She has fits. Her pure man said they were caused by
Mikik," Jen finished for him. After the first war ended, and Mikik slunk away into hiding, his terror still ran through town and city. scores upon scores of people killed by those who wrongly supposed Mikik to be the author of all irregularities of body and mind. Jen turned to his young companion. How do you know she's coming? Thepeth shrugged.
I just do. You'd best get away from us,
the boy warned him as a sizable group of children emerged from alley, building and ruin.
The Dark Guard, don't they kindly to anyone being close to the Shalane except the children? I imagine they would be even madder to see you. You really can't feel her coming.
No. Thank you for the warning, Thepeth. Jen secreted himself inside a half-destroyed house near where the children gathered together. It had a window facing the street and had enough of a roof to be dark, providing a perfect place to watch and not be seen. He leaned against the wall and looked out. Pitiful men and women gathered around the gate, standing away from it and not in the attitude of attack. As Thepeth said, the crowd did not surge forward when the gates swung open. A heavily fortified carriage, black in colour and etched with a silver rose, rumbled slowly through the gates. Four strong horses as black as the carriage pulled the heavy load, and a formidable column of 50 soldiers marched through the gates with it. Nearest the carriage were the unmistakable Dark Guard, intimidating in their black uniforms, swords drawn. When Thepeth mentioned that no one fought when the Shalane came, Jen had thought it out of respect for the Shalane. He revised that conclusion. They didn't fight because a couple of the Shalane's visits had taught them that any aggression near the first daughter resulted in quick death. The Shalane's guards stared menacingly at everyone and did a thorough check of the area before forming a wide perimeter and opening the door of the carriage. The first to emerge was a handsome young man, also uniformed as a Dark Guard. Jen recognized him from the Shadan's picture of him, Dacen Kildan. He extended his hand and Jen saw the Shalane for the first time as she stepped down into the street. She was tall for a woman, nearly as tall as the guard who helped her from the carriage. Everything about her appearance lay hidden behind her pure white cowl, veil, and robe that rippled in the breeze, shining in contrast with the dull browns and greys all around her. Several of the children approached her, and she stooped to hug them all. Jen could just make out her voice as she asked the names of the children she did not already know and talked with them. Musical. By her mannerisms, Jen could tell that she felt a little afraid or uncomfortable, but she loved the children enough to put aside her own inconvenience. Soldiers lifted food from the carriage and the Shalane distributed the bread, apples and cheese among her little charges, while the adults watched enviously. Thepeth sat near her and from time to time Jen could feel the boy's gaze upon him. Jen couldn't help but think of the children he knew and tell on the morning of Shadan Cairn's invasion. Fathers and mothers had clung to them to comfort them in their fear and soothed them with whispers that all would be well. The Shalane did much the same, sitting on the ground and taking each child onto her lap and into her arms, giving each a daisy from a basket brought forth from the carriage. With a hug and something whispered in the ear, she went from one to the next, often pressing the veil to her eyes to dry them. To spend a moment with every child took the better part of 2 hours, and by the time she finished, she needed Dacen's help to stand. Dirty hands and faces had stained her dress, and despite a quick attempt to shake and swat away the dirt, she would leave the damned quarter with a dress dyed brown in its dust. She didn't seem to mind, however, and she hugged them again, singing a little song to them as they filed past one by one. Before ascending into her carriage, she waved and promised to return soon. The driver worked to turn the unwieldy carriage about in the cramped street as the soldiers formed up by the carriage and distributed what remained of the food to the most unfortunate, protecting them as long as they could from those who would steal it. The Shalane opened a window in the door of the carriage and waved to the children as she left, the gates of the damned quarter swinging open and closing quickly once she was through. Jen emerged from his hiding place and out into the street. Thepeth approached, twirling his daisy in his hand.
You see now why I didn't want you to kill her? Isn't she wonderful?
She is everything I imagined. I doubt you could understand what her condescension says about her. I never wanted to kill her, though, Thepeth. I want to do quite the opposite, actually.
You want to be a Dark Guard?
Yes, I do.
So do I, mister. but she told me that I wouldn't get to because she would be the last Shalane. After tomorrow, there will never be another trials. Once Eldaloth returns, they won't need the Dark Guard anymore.
Every boy on any shard of note knew of the trials, a great contest of warriors where a few were selected to apprentice to the Dark Guard. He, Gant and the other local boys had staged many a fake trials in Tell's town square, though in play everyone won the honour of entering the Dark Guard to avoid real fighting.
They're holding the trials tomorrow. That's what she said.
Jen thanked Thepeth and walked away. This was a sign, a chance to put his training to the use it was intended. He needed to get a good look at the walls before the sun went down.